I'm going to look again at the parable in Matthew chapter 13. As I mentioned when I brought the message about the parable of the mustard seed, there are seven parables in this chapter, and they deal with the mysteries of the kingdom. Just to do a little review before we get into the message, you remember there are two periods in Israel's history that we must be aware of if we're to understand God's dealings with the nation of Israel. And by the way, if you really are interested in future events, if you're really concerned about what's going to take place, keep your eye on Israel, what's happening in the Middle East. But the first period is described in Luke chapter 21 and verse 24 that speaks of the times of the Gentiles. And that period began with Nebuchadnezzar, and it will end with the reign. Note I said the reign of the Antichrist that will certainly be manifested in the time of the tribulation period. During this time, all world power is in Gentile hands. The times of the Gentiles will end upon the personal return of Christ at Armageddon, when he will set up the millennial kingdom in Jerusalem. Keep in mind, one of the reasons why the disciples were willing to forsake all and follow him was because they believed at that time the Lord had come to set up his kingdom then. The second period of the fullness of the Gentiles, we read in Romans 11, verse 25, where he says the fullness of the Gentiles. So there's the times of the Gentiles, there's the fullness of the Gentiles, and the fullness of the Gentiles began at Pentecost and will end at the rapture, which could take place at any moment, which could happen even while we're here. But the kingdom, the one the disciples were expecting, it's been postponed because of Jewish unbelief. And that postponement has lasted for more than 2,000 years. And during that time, God has been calling out members for his church. And if you're a born-again believer, he has chosen you and called you out during this time as a member of the body of Christ. So the parables of this chapter deal with this present age. They actually reveal God's secret plans and purposes for this age. I mentioned before that the first four parables were spoken publicly to the multitudes by the seaside. Look in verse 1 of chapter 13. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. So the first four parables were spoken publicly to the multitudes by the seaside. The last three parables were spoken privately to the disciples in the house. Verse 36 says, then Jesus sent the multitudes away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. The word parable is a combination of two words. Para means alongside of, and bola means to set, or to place, or to throw. In other words, a parable is the placing of one truth along the side of another truth for the purpose of teaching by comparison or contrast. In other words, a parable really is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. We often use the word illustration, which is basically the same thing. We talked about how these parables are talking about the mysteries of the kingdom. A mystery in Scripture is something hidden in the mind of God until the appointed time of its revelation. The first parable, you'll notice, it does not begin with the words, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto." That's the first parable, the parable of the soil and the sower. And the next six parables that follow that begin with "the kingdom of heaven is like unto." Now, the reason for this is obvious, because the kingdom of heaven, and this is important, the kingdom of heaven is an expression that has reference to Christendom. Christendom envelops all churches regardless of denomination. Christendom embraces every person that is a member of the local church, whether they are a member of the church or not. That is Christendom. It's the sphere, in other words, of Christian profession. And if you're paying attention, everybody you talk to will give you a profession of being a Christian. Everybody's already ready to go to heaven, already right with God. The first parable contemplates the period of time covered by our Lord's earthly ministry. The kingdom of heaven did not assume this form until after Christ had ascended back to the Father. So the kingdom of God, on the other hand, that's described in Luke chapter 17, also John chapter 3, but the kingdom that was promised to David has been rejected by the Jews, as I said, because of their unbelief. So during this present age, it would not come, the kingdom of God will not come, our Lord said, it will not come by outward observation or outward display, but the kingdom of God, our Lord said, is in you. So the kingdom of God is in the hearts of men. So I give you all of that to just refresh your memory concerning the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But look at verse 33 now of this chapter for our text. "Another parable said he unto them, The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened." This is speaking about the parable of the leaven. Now, the parable of the leaven is a companion to the parable of the mustard seed. In the mustard seed, we saw an outward display of the professing church, how that it is dominated and taken over by the hierarchy and people in high places. And so we saw that in the parable of the mustard seed. In the parable of the leaven, we will see the inward decay of the professing church. In other words, the corruption that is in the professing church today. The subject of the parable is the mystery of subversion, and the emphasis is doctrinal, and the story itself revolves around the activity of the leaven and the action of the woman. In order to understand and determine the correct interpretation of the parable, we need to examine the three main subjects in this parable. Underline them, if you will, in that verse. The three main subjects is the leaven, the woman, and the meal. Those are the three main subjects, and we need an understanding of that to understand the parable. Note, first of all, the leaven. The leaven symbolizes belief corrupted by evil. In the Gospels, Jesus warned of three kinds of leaven. He warned us of the leaven of the Pharisees, the leaven of the Sadducees, and the leaven of Herod on three different occasions. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 1, we see our Lord said, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." Pharisees were a religious cult, but they did not know the Lord. They based everything they did on a legalistic attitude and a legalistic activity. So the leaven of the Pharisees was legalism. Now let me share something with you about the difference between legalism. There's a difference between legalism and separation. As a believer, we are challenged and told over and over again, be ye separate from the things of the world. Don't get involved in the things of the world. Love not the things of the world. That's biblical separation. Legalism is applying rules and regulations of man to try to get people to live by that has no scriptural basis. And there are those today that practice the Phariseeism with their legalism. You see, these Pharisees, they perverted the teachings of the scriptures by their own interpretation. The whole system was based on human opinion, and it became known as the oral law, and the Pharisees gave it far more weight. They gave the oral law far more weight than they did the scriptures. Keep in mind, anything that doesn't line up with the scriptures is wrong. Whatever it is, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, leave it alone. The leaven of the Pharisees was the mistaken idea that they had some kind of monopoly on divine truth, and that anyone who wanted to know God must come to Him through them. You and I know from the teachings of the Word of God, no man cometh unto the Father but by Me, Jesus said. He is the one and only way to the Father. Our Lord said to Nicodemus, except you be born again, you cannot even see the kingdom of God. Being born of the Spirit and of truth. In Matthew chapter 23, and I'll not read these verses, but sometime go and read that chapter, because there Jesus gives a strong rebuke against the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. And one of the things I'm seeing in the realm of Christendom as I travel is much Phariseeism, much hypocrisy, trying to be what they are. You know, one of the things that's being about being saved, you don't have to pretend. You are what you are. Sinners saved by grace. You don't have to put on an act. You don't have to put on a show. Just you're sinners saved by grace, and it's all because of the grace of God. You don't have to impress anybody. Just be what you are for the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's the leaven. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And then again, we read in Matthew chapter 22, verse 33, there's the leaven of the Sadducees, which was liberalism. The Pharisees was legalism. Sadducees was liberalism, and Jesus said, the Sadducees say there is no resurrection. You can't even be born again without believing in the resurrection. The Sadducees, and as one preacher said, that's the reason they were sad, you see. They didn't believe in the resurrection. The Sadducees were the agnostics, the humanists, the theological liberals of that day. They denied the existence of angels and also the resurrection of the dead. You see, liberals masquerade as Christians while denying such miraculous and supernatural essentials as the inerrancy of the scriptures. They deny the virgin birth of Christ. They deny His miracles. They deny His atoning death, His bodily resurrection, His ascension. They deny His literal coming again. They deny all those things. I'm always amazed how liberals just put the foot in their mouth when they try to explain away the miracles of the Scriptures. I was reading a book one time concerning the Israelites, the crossing of the Red Sea. And the book was written by a liberal, a woman liberal. And she said in her book that it really was not named the Red Sea. It was the Reed Sea. And so the people really walked through on water that was only ankle deep on the reeds of the sea. Now you see the problem with that? If it was only ankle deep, then Pharaoh and his army must have had to lay down to drown. Because they all drowned when they assailed you. They tried to explain away the miracles of God. The Sadducees were few in number in the days of Jesus, but you can see the influence of their teaching today in many areas of Christendom. And this teaching will continue to increase as the coming of Christ draws near. Jesus asked the question, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? You see how that kind of teaching diminishes faith in the truth of God's word. Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he says, evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse. I used to hear, when I first started preaching, I hear this quite often from some of the older members of the churches I was going to. And even from the pulpits, oftentimes you'd hear this statement, well, there's a spark of divinity in every one of us, and you just need to fan the flame once in a while. No, the Bible says there's none good. No, not one. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. So there's the leaven of the Pharisees, which is legalism. There's the leaven of the Sadducees, which is liberalism. We come now to another warning that our Lord gave concerning the leaven. Mark chapter 8 and verse 15, he says, beware of the leaven of Herod. The leaven of Herod was licentiousness. Now Herod was a king. He represented Rome. He stood for imperial power. There were some Israelites that were known as the Herodians. They believed that it would be to their advantage to work through Herod in order to gain their religious purposes. The Herodians were more than a religious party, and they were just something less than a political party. Herod, and our Lord said, beware of Herod, the leaven of licentiousness. Herod was a licentious, unprincipled individual who seduced his brother's wife and persuaded her to marry him. He then had John the Baptist beheaded because John the Baptist had enough backbone to publicly expose and denounce his adultery. He was a very licentious individual. He was so cruel. It's hard to imagine our Lord saying something like this. But Herod was so cruel that Jesus called him that fox. Called him a fox. Just a wicked old king. But the leaven of the Herodians is accepted in the church today in the form of licentiousness and worldliness. Do you realize, dear friend, many churches across this country have within their roles and within their leadership men and women that are very licentious in their lifestyles, unmarried or married to someone else that they don't need to be married to or whatever. I mean, just all kinds of things are going, and they're holding positions in churches. I don't call them Bible-believing churches, because if they believe the Bible, it wouldn't be like that. I'll tell you something else. Churches today are hurting so badly for pastors. They're willing to take anybody, no matter what his past life. If he claims to be a preacher, they'll take him and put him in as a pastor. I know churches like this and pastors like this. So there's the leaven. But let's look at the next word. Look at the next word we need to observe is woman. He said, which a woman took, don't miss this, took and hid in 3 measures of meal. Now the woman here is not a literal woman. It's speaking of a system. The woman who put the leaven in the meal represents the ancient Babylonian system located in Rome that eventually took over the church, turned it into Christendom, and left its leaven everywhere. The leaven is seen in the false religious cults. It's somewhat significant that women have much to do with the founding of some of these false religious cults. Christian Science, for instance, which is like grape nut cereals. It's neither grape nor nuts, and they're neither Christian nor science. But the church, that church, was formed by a woman by the name of Mary Baker Eddy. Seventh-day Adventist, formed by Ellen G. White, a woman. Modern spiritualism was started in Boston in 1848 by 2 sisters by the name of Fox, the Fox sisters. So if you read in the Revelation, when Jesus addressed the church in Thyatira, he issued a severe condemnation. He said, "Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols." It's amazing how many overlook that verse in our world of Christendom today. Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, "I suffer not a woman to teach, nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence." He gives that instruction in the context of Eve in the Garden of Eden when she listened to Satan's lie. Rather than believe God's truth, she believed Satan's lie. And as a result of it, the whole world was plunged into sin. She took a place of authority that was not hers. And today, many are doing it today. These television women, if you need me to name them, let me know. I'll refrain from doing it, assuming that you do know. But they are not of God. They're false prophetess. They're false teachers. Ladies, stop buying their books. Stop listening to them on television. "Well, I like to hear her." Well, all she's doing is feeding you a lot of stuff that just does not line up with the Word of God. You'll note in the parable, the woman, it says, took the leaven. Leaven stands for evil. So she took the leaven, that which is evil, notice what she did with it, hid it in the meal. And in so doing, not only did she dilute the meal, she polluted it also. The Bible says a little leaven will leaven or ruin the whole lump. That's where the church in Christendom is today, because of the leaven that is in the church. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ has been reduced to a social gospel because of the leaven false teachers have mixed with the truth. And how sad that it is that multitudes are flocking to these churches to hear false things that are concocted in hell itself. Then we see a third word. Notice the three measures of meal. Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took, hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. Now under the Mosaic law, the amount of the meal offering was three measures. You can read about it in the book of Numbers. There you'll find the word meat, but it's the same as the word meal. You remember Abraham, for instance, told Sarah to take three measures of meal and prepare cakes for their guests. These Old Testament references will give us an idea of what the three measures of meal was intended to symbolize in the parable. You see, the meal offering was made of fine flour because it symbolized Christ in the purity and the evenness of his life on earth. He was always the same, never in a hurry, never anxious, never afraid, always in control. So it symbolizes the purity of Christ. Oil that is mentioned in the book of Numbers along with the meal was poured over the fine flour. No amount was stipulated because oil represents the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit was not given by measure to Christ, the Lord's anointed. His filling and anointing was limitless and without end. Again, we find, as you study those verses in Numbers, no honey, was to be added to the meal offering, because honey speaks of natural sweetness, which is corruptible. Honey can ferment and turn sour. The sweetness of our Lord's character was not just natural, it was supernatural. So there was no honey. No leaven was to be put in the meal offering because leaven, as I said, symbolizes evil. The three measures prefigured the pure, unadulterated, unleavened truth that the Lord Jesus left with his church. Johnny Cash sang a song several years ago, "What is Truth?" Jesus told him a long time before he ever sung it, "I am truth." Christ is the unadulterated, unleavened truth that the church has been left with. The church was formed at Pentecost, and the Bible says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Somewhere along the way, many churches have dropped the ball. They picked up man's doctrine. They're going along with their opinions rather than what the Word of God says. You see, this apostles' doctrine was the body of teaching that gave the church life. Jesus said, he said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." These teachings were not to be diluted nor distorted. People today are always trying to find a more up-to-date scripture or Bible. They say, "Well, that I can understand more easily." It's not to be diluted nor distorted. And every new translation that comes out does that just a little more. I had a fellow one time tell me this. I may have shared this with you. He said, well, I really use the Bible that I have because it's easier for me to understand. I cannot understand the King James Bible. I said, well, you're a college graduate, aren't you? He said, yes. And he told me how he had his bachelor's degree, had his master's degree, had all these degrees. He had more degrees than he had temperature. And I said, you know, that's interesting. My little old grandmother only had an elementary education, and she read the King James Bible on a daily basis. Never did I hear her complain about not understanding it. I said, where does that leave you with all your degrees? You want to know God's truth, He'll reveal His truth to you. You want to know the will of God, He'll show you His will in His Word. So notice now, the three measures of meal were not removed. Here's the important thing in this. She took them, the meal, and hid it. Three measures in leaven. So it wasn't removed, nor was something else substituted in their place. Instead, a foreign element was mingled with it, an element that has slowly and gradually corrupted it. Now, the leaven started working in Paul's day. So you can imagine what progress it's made. He says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4, the mystery of iniquity doth already work, and it will continue to work until the whole is leavened. While the Holy Spirit remains on the earth in the heart of saints, God's truth will be proclaimed. As the preacher pointed out on this past Sunday, there's a remnant of believers, and you thank God for that. Within each and every one of them is the person of the Holy Spirit that proclaims the truth on a regular basis. So the Holy Spirit, however, Paul tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, the Holy Spirit will be taken out of the way. And then the whole, or all of professing Christendom, will be completely leavened. When the church, the true church, is removed, the false church will begin to have more of a heyday than it's having right now. So let me summarize this up this way, with pointing out these three words. You have to understand those words to understand the parable of the leaven. The leaven symbolizes the corrupting of God's truth by the introduction of evil doctrine. It'll amaze you today, some of the things that are being taught. And the sad part of it is, many of those people that are sitting there are not wise enough to seek out the truth on their own, and they're swallowing it hook, line, and sinker. They're believing a lie, thinking they're believing the truth. The woman represents the ancient Babylonian system, or what we know as Romanism or Catholicism. In Revelation chapter 17, I want to read a couple of verses there. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 9. Verse 9. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. Talking about the mother of harlots, the great whore, Revelation 17. Here is the mind which hath wisdom, the seven heads or seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Verse 18, and the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. So it's an ancient system today known as Romanism, literally Catholicism. Then the three measures of meal in this verse prefigures the pure, unadulterated, unleavened truth that the Lord Jesus Christ left with his church. All these years, there's been a diversion getting farther and farther away from what Christ left with the church. So you've heard the parable of the mustard seed and the companion parable, the parable of leaven.